guys are crazy. You guys act like you're having revival or something. How's that? Is that better?
What's up, Kingston? What happened to the pulpit?
Oh.
Thank you, my brother from another mother. Let's do it. Or Mr. from another sister.
Wow. Father, we thank you for tonight. Such a presence of your spirit. Thank you, Lord. This is not the frozen chosen section of New York State, Lord. Wow. I tell you, man, the shout in this place is just humongous. You guys are just wild New Yorkers. Yankees for Jesus. You know, I was reading a scripture today. It's in Job 5:22. Turn your Bibles real quick to Job 5:22. How many have your Bibles with you tonight? Say, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
17 people. That's awesome. How many have the New King James Version? Okay. How many have the Amplified Version? Well, if I read out of the Amplified, I'm going to say a little louder, if that's all right. That's the Amplified Version. But listen, when you go to Job, you go to Job 5:22. It says in my New King James Version, for all of you that don't read your Bible, it's page 454. It says in verse 22, you shall laugh at destruction and famine. Amen. Yeah. Now you can close your Bibles. God bless you. We're done. Last night, I was in Tampa, Florida, in a place called The River. And by Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, he's the pastor there. And how many have heard of Dr. Rodney Howard Brown? And last night, they have this. He's having a whole conference called Calling All Evangelists. And there were people from all over the world. A lot of people get totally discouraged because of how rough the life is out there. These preachers that go out and they preach their guts out. Literally, their guts fall out. They got to put it back in. You know, and they preach as hard as they can. And sometimes they preach out of the flesh instead of out of the spirit. And so they, Pastor Rodney, can you just attack the demon of feedback? Thanks. So Pastor Rodney, he has everybody come in every year to get filled up. The Bible says that we must be continually filled with the Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Like, it's not about the man. It's not about the ministry. It's not about how cool things are going to be. It's about His presence. We have to learn to know who the Holy Spirit is. You say, gosh, are you just jumping in and preaching at us? Absolutely, because these are the days of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? These are not the days of Elijah. Elijah's dead. You can't even find his bones. These are the days of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, when they had the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon each of them. It says in Acts chapter 2, and it sat upon each of them. They were all gathered in one accord in one place. And then suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were seated. And it sat upon each of them like divided tongues as of fire. Do you know what the fire of God is? How many know what the fire of God is? Four people. We're going to have revival tonight. The fire of God. I'll give you a great example. In Luke 3:16, John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but there's one coming that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Basically, John said, I'm a Baptist, but there's a Pentecostal coming. This fire is the thing that burns on the inside of every Christian heart that goes beyond just having a meeting every night. It goes beyond just coming to church on Sunday morning. I would hope and I believe it's true that you're here tonight because you're not here to see a man or sing another song. You want to experience the presence of God to take it back, to change your city, to change your family, to change your business, to change your community. Am I right or not? So if that's the truth, then you must take the fire from what you receive here and give it out to people. You say, well, I'm not called. You know, I don't stand behind a pulpit. You don't need a pulpit. Give me a Pentecostal break. You got a whole city of people that are crying out, would somebody please show me the real Jesus? They're tired of religion. People are not stupid today. People are not stupid, but they are crying out for fire. And this fire is something that we need to have in our lives. The fire of God touched me 4 years ago. The fire of God touched me back when I was 21. The fire of God touched me 3 years ago. I can remember certain times in my life where fire just hit me. You say, well, what? Can you give me a definition of fire? How about this? You're not feeling really good, and all of a sudden, here's the interpretation. Fire! You come in one way, you leave another. Can you say amen? Amen. Some people, they come in, they're depressed. They never press in. I've got the joy. I have the fire. You ain't got nothing. You got cobwebs. And God wants to come with his broomstick and clean them out of you. Can you say amen? So when you read in Acts chapter 2, I just determined myself, okay? When I read that scripture, I said, you know what? It's not fair that they got all this stuff back in Acts. Why is it that the disciples get everything? How many appreciate James, John, all the disciples? How many appreciate the disciples? Okay. How about revivalists that have gone after the disciples that we've heard about in the late 1700s, 1800s? Charles Finney, Billy Sunday. You know, Billy Sunday, he held, do you know Billy Sunday in 1924 in Elmira, New York, held a meeting at a college and 400,000 people came to hear him talk about Jesus. Because he was a baseball player who got radically changed. The fire of God touched this baseball player and he could not be quiet and he could not be silent. You know what the fire of God will do? It will burn out every trace of religion that's inside of you. It will mess up your whole Christian life. You think about it. When you first got saved, you couldn't shut you up. Three people said amen. When you first got saved, you couldn't shut you up. You shouted from the rooftop, I'm saved! If you were Pavarotti, I'm saved! People thought you were nuts. And you were like, I am. You'd walk up to people, they'd have a headache. And because you just got saved and your faith is at this level, how many know when you first got saved, your faith was right up here? You believed God for everything and he always came through? And somebody would have a headache. He said, brother, I got a headache. Go, oh, don't worry about it. I'll pray for you. I'm saved. Fire. And he goes, the headache's gone. You're like, I know, I'm saved. Anyway, and you move on. Then your car wouldn't start because you got to get to work in the morning. So you're there. I tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, start! And we're like, you're like, I knew it. I'm saved. Now, 10 years later, you've been in the church. You've gone to every single conference known to man. I mean, when people first get saved, the last thing I want to happen to them as a Christian to get near them. You know Gandhi said? He said Christianity would be great if Christians weren't involved. I I just want to warn everybody tonight, this is not a meeting that's made to make you feel all comfortable. If you're offended, it's okay. It will not offend me. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Because we're going to touch heaven tonight. We are going to touch heaven. Some of you are going to be radically changed tonight right here in this room. It's not by accident you came here. This is not another hyped up preaching sermon that's going to come. And I tell you right now, God. Thank you. I tell you, God. It ain't going to be like that. But you think about it now, 10 years later, after you've been saved and you've been around the church and you sat in the chair that the definition of the chair that you sit in is smelling something, pew. And 10 years later, the same guy has a headache. You're like, take some Tylenol, dude. I ain't got any more faith. My car won't start. Call AAA, dude. What happened? The fire went out. That's what happened. The fire gets down. Why does the fire get down? Why does the fire go out? Because you're not continually being filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's real. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how many people show up to a meeting. It doesn't matter how many people in your circle of influence that there are in the room. When you walk in the room, you are a carrier of the presence of God. When you walk in, you carry the presence of God with you. Which means you can actually affect a service by the expectation that you bring here. Or that you take into the marketplace. Or that you take to your job. You are the meeting. Does that make sense? You are the meeting. You're not coming to a meeting. You are the meeting. Years ago, when I would go into church service, sometimes I'd walk into a place and I'd think, who died? When are they going to wheel the casket out? I would be paying more attention to the spider weaving a web up in the corner than hearing the guys preach. And all I'd hear would be like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Some people I see taking notes all the time, and I'm thinking to myself, what do they write? And then one time you look over somebody's shoulder, and it's a recipe for cookies. And you think they're getting something out of the message, you know. But you know, honest to God, I've been in the church since I was like 8 years of age. And I won't mention any denominations, Assembly of God. And I would go into the services. Now, this is every service. I've been in all kinds of services. I've been in Baptist churches, Catholic churches, Presbyterian, Protestant, Lutheran, atheist. That's where you go in. Nobody's there because they don't even believe they're there. You know. It's I've been in all kinds of places. And I have found, I used to get really irritated thinking, is this it? Is this it? Is this what everybody's hyped up about? Come to church. Hello, brother. How are you? Blessed and highly favored. Amen. Then they come sit down, and then you sit next to them. They're all like happy-go-lucky and giddy. And meanwhile, your life sucks. But anyway, so you're sitting there, and you're like trying to really press in. And brother Doodad over here is like not pressing in. And I used to think to myself, is this really it? Like, is this what everybody's all hyped up about? What happened to the power of God that comes in the places and smokes the place? And people get laid out. It's because I started to realize that this gospel I read about all these people in the Bible, I can be as close to God as anybody in that Bible. Now, I said, how many people appreciate the disciples? And then I said, how about the revivalists that have gone before us? Charles Finney, Maria Woodworth Etter. I mean, you look at all of them, Smith Wigglesworth. Some of these guys, here's the thing though, okay? Listen up close. You ready? They're all dead. The question is, who's going to pick up the mantles that they left behind? We've been traveling across the world having a We Are the Generation tour because I have absolutely been persuaded by the Spirit of God. I'm not waiting for another generation to rise up. This is it. We are the generation, young and old. And then I read stuff about Smith Wigglesworth. You know how old he was when he started his ministry? He was 56 years of age. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's hope. You know, Jesus was so kind to the sinner. Did you know that? Jesus was so kind to the sinner. He'd open his arms wide for them. He was mean to this, to the religious person. He was very mean. He said, you dirty dogs, you brood of vipers, you Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn'tsees, and wouldn'tsees. Very mean. And you know, there's something that's coming right now. It makes people uncomfortable to be around the fire of God, because what it does is it causes people to get uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know why? Because it exposes you.
Right.
I'm convinced today that people should be cast out of demons. You say, come out, Joe. And the demon goes, man, that guy's got issues. Because we always say the devil made me do it. But see, God said that he put his presence inside of you. Wherever you walk, whatever you do, whatever you put your hands to, he is there with you. When you wake up in the morning, he's there. When you go to sleep, he's there. While you're doing your job during the day, he's there. While you're making stuff at home, and maybe you're a housewife, or maybe you're on the assembly line, he's there with you every single time. And the devil is so smart, and yet he's so stupid at the same time. He is trying to convince you that that's it. Your lot in life is just come to church, just sit and relax. But I'm telling you right now, there's an army rising up that's wanting to travel all over this nation to deliver it from demons, alcohol, pornography, get everything out of people's lives so they can get closer to Jesus. And the youth are now looking to us going, hey, do you really believe what you preach, pal? They're not stupid.
Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2 quickly. Go to Ephesians 2, verse 19. Don't be alarmed. If you hear people laughing, it's because they're happy. By the way, if people fall down tonight, I have an explanation. It's because they couldn't stand up. Ephesians 2, verse 19. You are therefore no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens. Read it. I know what it is. The members and the prophets of the household of God. You are fellow citizens and members. Now look up at me. That word right there in Ephesians 2:19 is speaking about you. It was not for an isolated moment. It is not a cliche or a story we read about back in 2,000 years ago. It must have been awesome. The Holy Spirit blew through like the wind. For most people in the church today, it's like, and the Holy Spirit came in like a gentle breeze. He just fluttered right into the place. Give me a break. You know what I look for in people? I look for that flame that's burning in the inside of their eyes. People that are full of God, people that are on fire, and they don't care what people say or do or think. They are after the presence of God. It doesn't matter about their ministry. It doesn't matter about their name or about their title. It's about Jesus. Ephesians 2:19, I'll read it again for those of you that didn't have a clue what I said. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Today, we are missing foundation in people's lives. Today, right now. Now, I'm not here to bark and argue about what's wrong with the church. It seems like every preacher that comes into a service talks about what's wrong with the church. I have a solution. Today, here's the solution. Raise your children up in the ways of the Lord, and they shall not depart from it, says God. And if you've messed up, you've made mistakes as a parent, then begin to teach it again. God will give you a second wind. See, I read the Bible, the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. It says we win. It says we win, which means I don't have to lose everything. We've been so preached at, man. We've been so ministered to that some of us are getting numb. Psychologists are now saying, especially America, there's a numbness of the soul that is happening right now. How many have felt that before? Be real honest with me. Don't. Now I'm on fire, brother. Who's felt the numbness of the soul? Okay, do you guys don't understand something? The enemy is totally on the lure right now. He's lurking right around all of us right now, trying to find who he can grab. Because the Bible says that he's there to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He can't destroy you, and he can't kill you until he stole something from you. Let me try this church over here. Listen to me. He can't kill you and destroy you until he's stolen something from you first. Because once he's stolen something from you, that's when your guard goes down. Then he comes in for the kill. He's constantly reminding Christians today of their past. He's the accuser of the brethren. You need to wake up and hear this. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I love revival. But I think we need to be wise. I think we need to understand what kind of a war we're fighting. How many know the armies already know what the battle's going to be like before they get there? And there is a battle. There is revival here in this place in Kingston. But folks, to take over a city, to go into the place and start making changes right in the marketplace and stuff, you're going to have to come against some stuff, and you already have in the last 3 months, have you not? Three people, yes, brother. It's out there. But greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Listen, I'm not saying it as a cliche. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. People say it's the devil. The devil made me do it. The devil? Beelzebub? Like Lucifer himself? Are you joking? The devil is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. There's only one person that can do that. It's God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus. These are the only people that can be there all at the same time. The devil, he says he goes to and fro. He can't even afford a bus ticket. This guy can't get around. And we think it's the devil. We have to take responsibility for ourselves and say, you know what? I've been given a responsibility. My responsibility is to live for Christ as much as I possibly can with every ounce of my faith, with every sweat, tear, blood, shout, joy, laugh, sorrow, whatever it is to worship the Lord. We have to go towards that. I'll tell you why. Because eternity is the reason we're even here. Listen, let me tell you something. When Lakeland, how many saw the Lakeland revival? How many watched it on God TV or on the internet or whatever? Okay. How many have no clue about the Lakeland revival? Lift your hands. How many would raise your hands no matter what I say? Okay, cool. When the Lakeland Revival hit, for those of you who don't have a clue what the Lakeland Revival happened, we went to a church in April of last year. 600 people were there for the meeting. Within 2 days, it grew to 1,200. Within 3 days, it grew to 3,000. People were traveling all over the world, and then went on God TV and went on the internet. We had to move venues. We went from 3,000 people to 5,000 into another church. And then from another church, we went right into the Lakeland Civic Center, which held 8,000. First night, packed it out. Every time we move a venue, we'd pack the whole place out that first night. 8,000 hungry, desperate people that didn't care about the music or who's going to preach and, you know, all this stuff. They just showed up because they came for the presence of God. Yeah. I mean, people gave up their houses in Oregon, man. People drove down from Oregon. I met this couple that gave away their house and got into a car and said, we're staying here until it's over. People flew in from Scotland. They flew in from Cyprus and Morocco and England and Ireland and Australia and New Zealand and Haiti and Africa and Greenland and Iceland and Southern America, and which is really South America. And they came with no expectation except this: when they get there, God is going to touch them. And I watched the growth of this thing, and I watched people come, and those that came that started looking up to the people thinking it was all about them, they would lose out. All of a sudden, they would start to complain about the fourth or fifth month of the revival because they let their fire get down and they forgot who they came to worship. See, I'm trying to tell you tonight is that wherever you go, you can change a service or an atmosphere because of what you carry. But if you don't believe it's going to happen to you, it won't. The Bible says that signs and wonders follow those who believe. Somebody says, I don't know if I believe that. Don't worry, it won't happen to you. Don't even concern yourself. And signs and wonders shall follow those that have the spirit like Thomas. I doubt that it's here. Don't worry, it won't happen to you. Those who believe, signs and wonders follow. And I'll tell you right now, people that came to the revival, those that believed, there were kids, I remember in the first meetings, and I'm not here to talk about the Lakeland Revival, I'm just sharing this story for a reason. There were kids that came to the revival. Now, I'm a skeptical guy. I'm a very skeptical guy. Because I'm in the ministry, and I get to meet all these doodads and everything that go around preaching. I meet a lot of people that do it for the paycheck. If you think you're going to get rich getting in the ministry, you're smoking some bad religious weed. I've asked some of these preachers, what are you doing in the ministry? It's pretty bad. But I'm not joking. It's pretty bad. They just go around, and that's all they do, it just for the money. And they wonder why their meetings are so low. They wonder why the presence of God doesn't show up. It's because the motive's wrong. So that's them, but hang on. Now my question is, what motive do you come with?
Well, I want leader so-and-so to lead me.
Why don't you lead? Why don't you come in and say, no matter what, I'm touching heaven tonight. I had to do that every night in the Lakeland Revival. 10,000 people finally. We went to Joker Merchant Stadium. 14,000 showed up for Joker Merchant Stadium. We packed out the Detroit Tigers Stadium, where the Detroit Tigers come down for spring training. We packed it out. They never packed it out with any game or any kind of event. We pack it out with revival. It was gridlocked for 2 miles around the whole place the first night. The evangelist couldn't even get in. He was stuck a mile out. And then we moved from there, and we went to a place called the Lakeland Airport. It was an open-air field. And at night, they had these big, huge lights that went down the side. There was like 10, 12,000 people showed up. You'd think it was a crusade in India. Why did the people come? Because they were hungry for God. They were tired of religion. They were tired of tradition, and they weren't even happy with what they were doing. And they said, I'm going to touch heaven. And they touched heaven. One night in the service, these young people came up in the first 2 weeks, and they had scars on their legs from a fire that they were in, and it burned their legs completely, okay? In the middle of worship, one kid started freaking out. His scar disappeared in the worship. I was there. I saw it with my eyes. I remember my exact response, too. I went, huh? It flipped me out. Then, you know, you hear all the naysayers. Oh, come on. What did it look like before? They had before and after pictures. They came up and they showed it the night before, and then the next night it was gone. In a little worship, he felt a sensation go through him, and it's like God just molded his skin back into new flesh. Don't tell me God doesn't still move in signs and wonders. Don't tell me that the church is over with. The church is just getting started. Those that believe, signs and wonders follow. And as Christians, you have to continually lift your spirit up, encourage yourself like David did. How do you think David felt in the cave? Here he is, a shepherd, anointed king of Israel. The minute they poured the oil, okay? The minute that Jesse said, here's my son, and Samuel said, okay, and he poured the oil on David. Did he become king of Israel that night? No. Where did he go? He went back into the pasture and became a sheep herder again until God was ready for him to go. But I believe with all my heart that that started something in his heart while he was herding those sheep. Not hurting, herding. How many had Andy Elms here? You were here for Andy Elms. Yeah. I love this guy because when he prays for you, he goes, 1, 2, 3, you're healed. The word of God's good for you. It's got no additives, lots of preservatives. I remember he was praying for this one lady. She says, just receive your healing. She's like, what? You're healing. Oh, my healing. But you look at David, and what I believe is, for instance, guys, this little guy killed a bear with his bare hands, and he ripped the lion apart with his bare hands. Now, we read these as stories. Most of us, because we're American, this is the way it is, I'm sorry. We read these stories, and we think, that's a nice story. That's how we think about it. We come to church, and go, tell me that story about Samson again. What do you do? You know. And we think of it like stories. But folks, this really happened. He tore a bear apart with his bare hands. He tore a lion apart with his bare hands. When that giant stood up named Goliath, he took a stone and went, and it went. And down he went. Then he worshiped the Lord. He went and grabbed a sword and cut the guy's head off. Some of you need to read your Bible again. You need to realize the kind of heritage we actually have. Do you know that we used to cut up animals? Oh, I heard 3 people say, amen, brother. That was our heritage. The way that man would receive remission for his sins is he'd go grab a lamb and bleed the thing on the altar, and that would be acceptable to the Lord. This one place where Samuel grabbed these kings that they had taken over their land and King Saul brought the kings before Samuel, and Samuel became angry because God said, wipe out that whole line of lineage and seed, get rid of those guys. And Samuel, the Bible says this, Samuel grabbed his sword and he cut off the heads of every king. And the Bible says, and Samuel worshiped. Sometimes my friends and I will get some guy that'll come up to us or something, and he's just being an idiot, you know, perfect idiot, you know, or something like that. You say, what's that? Well, I tried to stick up for a guy one time. I said, listen, man, somebody called you perfect idiot. I said, not everybody's perfect. I mean, you know, it's only all right. But somebody come up and they just be a goofball, and I just look at my other guy and I go, you want to worship? We worship you. Hallelujah. You are dead all the time. No, I'm just kidding. This is our heritage. You need to read about what you did. Thank God for the new covenant. Can you say amen? You can come boldly into the throne of grace and he will accept you just the way you are. In the old days, you had to tie bells around you to walk in and pray, and you had to have no sin in your life. And, I mean, it must have been bad. Hey, Joe, you want to go in today and pray? You better take my bells, dude. I saw what you did last week. He go in there, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Joe, pull him out. That's what it was like. Today, Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the words that came out of the Son of God said this, "It is finished." God has made every attempt to try to get a hold of His people. And you can either be lulled to sleep in this life, or you can get up and get moving. You can either stand around and sit in the church and just be a good tither, and you give offerings and you sing hallelujah and you really listen to the pastor when he preaches or the evangelist that comes through. Or you can say, you know what? I believe this for myself. I'll try this church over here. They seem to be more responsive. Did anybody hear what I said? He's looking for people that simply believe His word. It's not hype. I'm so sick and tired of Christian television, man. No, seriously, I'm not joking you. I'm tired of it. Because it is drawing out the juice. It's drawing out the presence of God out of people that are settling for second best. We got to be real, man, with each other. We got to show each other that who we are is real. And not fake it. A lot of us are fakers. Don't look at me with your religious view. You know what religion is? Religion's like bad breath. Everybody knows you got it except you. Should give those to prophets. They stand in front of you. Hallelujah. The person falls out. Oh, the power of God. No, no, no. His breath stunk. That's why I carry binocular now. I have a word for you. You do? Hold on a second. Go ahead. Whoa, hang on. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yes, I received that. No, thank you. People don't want religion, and you know what? We will settle for religion because that's what everybody else is doing. Jesus was the most controversial person in the earth, and they killed Him for it. Now, some people are absolutely gone in their mind, and they try to do the extreme and just be controversial for the sake of being controversial. That was not Jesus. Some people are spiritual granola bars, man. You know what I determined? I remember sitting in the back pew one day in church and going, Lord, I could do this better than this guy right now that's in the pulpit. I'd bring honor and glory to You. How many have felt that way before? Three people. Nobody wants to be honest. Because the focus must be on Jesus. People say, well, why do people laugh? Because they're happy. I'm sorry nobody told you. In the middle of church? Yes. Leaping and praising God. Shouting and leaping and praising God. Hello, these are parts of the fruits of the Spirit. Some people read about the day of Pentecost and they think it's an isolated incident. Don't you understand the reason Pentecost was poured out is so that in 2009 in Kingston, New York, on like the May 15th, God could pour it out again on people? The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. He doesn't change because you change. He changes not. He's the same. He's just saying, will you tap into me? Will you stop looking at... A lot of people want to be superstars in Christendom. Forget about it. Wrong motive. You won't have a successful ministry. I can guarantee you that. When I started out in full-time ministry, I fell flat on my face for the first 80 times. Because you want to get to be known. Most people, you have to be recognized and known. If you're going to go to a church, they have to know those who labor amongst you. And so you're trying to make this name and you're trying to get to know. Let me tell you something. The Bible says the gift makes the way. You just show up, and when Jesus shows up in your meeting, you won't have to look for an invite. The invites will come to you. You won't have to prove anybody that you're anointed. I have people all the time. I'm anointed. And I just like, that's awesome. Whoop-dee-doo. What am I supposed to do? Roll out the red carpet? Oh my God, you're anointed? Oh my God! Woo! Please! Woo! I have the Bible on my iPhone. It's really cool.
Technology is the devil.
Like when you say you're anointed, like all of a sudden it's like. I'm anointed, prove it.
Church. Come on, Martha, this place is dead.
Na 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 na, hey, hey, goodbye. Roy, I wrote a song. You did? I mean, people all the time trying to give songs and stuff, and I'm just trying to look at their motive. Are they trying to write a song so they get the next hit? Are they writing a song because it came out of their heart towards Jesus and it's going to bless everyone that sings it? Roy, I wrote a song. I know. God gave it to you because you didn't want anybody else to have it. That's mean, Roy. I've been to some preacher's meetings. The guy goes, come on, give him a shout. They work themselves up. Oh, I tell you, God's got a plan for your life. It's not the same as it used to be, but I'm telling you, it's going to change. Turn to your Bibles. If the presence of God is in you, you don't need all that stuff. You don't have to hype nothing. Jesus just shows up. Where two or three are gathered in His name, the Bible says He is there amongst them. Yes. Jesus is in the building tonight. Yes. The Holy Spirit is in the building. Because we're talking about Him. We're lifting Him up. We're worshiping Him. God's changing some people's hearts in here tonight. Some of you are starting to prick you right now. You know what I'm talking about. And the reason it's pricking you is because you've had religion a long time. All of us have. All of us have been pricked with religion. It's got to go. There's no room for it in the kingdom. Jesus said, if you take your hand off the plow, meaning for the kingdom of God, doing the work of the kingdom, if you take your hands off the plow, He says, he is not worthy of service in the kingdom. Now, Jesus isn't being mean. He's just saying, listen, why are you on this earth, man? A lot of people look at the ministry as, oh, it's just a speaking engagement, or they get to do this or do that. Folks, it's so much worse than that. I have lived on a plane for about 53 days. The peanuts are getting to me, okay? I know Jesus wanted us to be the salt of the earth, but that's pushing it. You know what I'm saying? My wife and I, we constantly are pursuing Jesus together. Constantly challenging each other. Are we doing this for the right motives? Is it about us or is it about Him? I'm telling you, your reward is in heaven. This is not some, I'm not even trying to be inspirational tonight. Listen to me. Whether you like me or not, it doesn't matter. I'm out of here Sunday. Because it's not dependent upon that. And it's not dependent upon when's the next time He's going to come. When's the next preacher that's going to come. When's the next person that God's going to raise up. How about you answer the call that God's given you? I'll do, Lord, what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. Any cost. One of the things God's been stirring in my spirit, along with my pastor, is that souls. How many were in the meetings that first started here in Kingston the first 10 days? How many have been radically touched by the Lord? How many know it was a God thing, not a Roy and Melanie thing, or a Steve Smith thing, or a Vaughn Gerald thing? God met you right where you at because finally you said, Lord, anything, I'll do it. And He answers you. When you call out to God, He answers you. He doesn't leave you hanging. He's not the God of maybe. His promises are yes and amen. But those first 10 days, when we took up the offerings and stuff, we told you we were heading to Australia. We ended up staying for 2 months. We were going for 2 weeks. Not 3 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks. And we stayed for 2 months. And I canceled once again. Actually, I postponed once again meetings that we had in Rochelle, Illinois, like another 1,000-member church. Because it's not about the places. Some people, they want to stick a feather in their cap and say, I preach there. Yeah, where's your fruit? What happened in your meeting?
Hallelujah!
Okay, let's go home. That was great.
I got a t-shirt. I got a CD. I got a hat.
What happened? But I'm here to report to you today, the seed that you sowed in the 10 days that you were here into Run With Fire Ministries. We went to 8 cities in New Zealand and Australia. We started in Brisbane. We were there for 7 nights of meeting. The first night, 640 people showed up. And we went for week, night after night for 1 whole week. And then we went to a place called Bald Hills, and we were there for the whole day. I think it was 400 showed up there. And I don't know all the numbers. But from there, we went down to Sydney. We went to Sydney, and miracles started breaking out in our meetings. We had one guy who played rugby. An Australian, an Aussie. I know we don't have any here tonight. Anyway. G'day, how you going? All right. So we had a rugby player. He twisted the ligaments on the inside of his ankle, and his foot was extremely messed up. His wife was with him. Everybody, it seemed like there was a few people that knew this guy. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. There's somebody here with a twisted ankle. God wants to heal it tonight. I called him out of the place. Listen, I don't move in miracles, signs, and wonders all the time. I go when the Holy Spirit prompts me. Sometimes people bring people there that have a wheelchair or something like that. Do you know that Jesus didn't heal every single person that was brought to Him? Well, that's not fair. Sorry. That's the way it was. And so I had this word of knowledge. I called the guy out. Twisted ligament. His bones are all messed up inside. He had to have surgery. The surgery was messed up when he had it, so it twisted everything even worse. Then it grew together, the cartilage on the inside and all that. And the Lord spoke clear as day to me. He said, tell this man right now to kick his foot against the stage as hard as he can and he'll be healed. My first thought was, you foul devil. Then my second thought was, I'm out of here tomorrow. So So I tell the guy, and I prayed for his foot, and I knew this guy was going to be healed. I didn't care whether he believed or not. The Lord said something to me. Listen, when God speaks to you, how many know it's a good idea? Just go ahead and go with it. No matter what it sounds like, feels like, looks like, just go with it. How many know that God's spoken to you sometimes? How about you? You've been driving down the road, and you see somebody on crutches, and compassion fills your heart. Something stirs up inside of you, and you feel, just for a split second, I feel like I need to go over there and lay hands on that guy, and he'll instantly be healed. How many have had that experience before? Guess what? When you didn't do it, you missed your opportunity because Jesus was moved by compassion. And guess what? That's part of the power of God. Did you know that? Because compassion is what? It's love. Love cuts through everything. It can cause the stoniest heart to become the warmest heart. And so I called this guy out. I said, let me pray over you. I prayed over his foot. And he was like one of these like guys that just doesn't believe. He's like, yeah, praise God. Yeah, right. Mm. All right. Yeah. Okay, I'm healed. I'm like, dude, the Lord just told me, kick your foot up against the stage right now. He goes, and I got it on video. I've got it on video. He goes, and he's like, he's so wimpy. He's a rugby player, man. Aussie rugby player. I'm healed. Yeah. No. I said, kick it. He goes, it'll hurt. I said, close your eyes, lift your hands. Father, let the same fire God that touched him when he got saved touch his ankle right now in Jesus' name. And I looked him square in the eye like a rugby player. I said, now kick the stage with your foot. Now. And he went just like this. And he went. I go, where's the pain? He goes, there is none. And then I would call people out of the crowd, and they'd be 25 feet away. This is in Sydney. They'd be 25 feet away. And I'd say, Lord, Holy Spirit, just touch him right there in the seat. And they'd fall out. And everybody was like expecting me to go over there. Like some people, they pray like this. In the name of Jesus. That's why the person's like, I'm seeing visions. Of course you are. I just hit you. Yeah. I see stars and Popeye and olive oil. What does that mean? Will you interpret? Some preachers beat you up. Some preachers beat you up. They won't let you go. Name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus. I'm free. You know. Then you come back around in their healing line. He goes, didn't I already pray for you? Yeah, but now I got a headache. But people got healed in Sydney. And then from Sydney, we flew down to Melbourne, and we got to Melbourne. The place was packed out, and I literally let the service, now I'm not going to do this tonight, but I let the service go for almost till midnight, and then I took up the offering, and the pastor was like extremely nervous on the front row. Sheets of sweat are coming down him. You know, he's brought in Roy Fields, the Lakeland Revival worship leader, you know, all this kind of stuff, and he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm like, just relax. I already covered the bills. It's not a problem. And I took up the offering at the end. Half the people left. I love clearing people out of a building. Do you know why? Because Jesus removed people out of the room, and then the boy was healed. Pardon me. The girl was healed. Because doubt and unbelief will quench the Spirit of God. So I like to clear some folks out sometimes. Some people, oh, well, you take the offering right now. Everybody's got their worship up and they're excited. No, that's manipulation. If God wants to do something, he can do it when he wants to, anytime he wants to, with whoever he wants to, at the time he wants to do it. And we saw in Melbourne, we had like 50 people come and give their lives to Jesus at the end of the night. In Melbourne, we had the largest offering with half the people. People gave with a cheerful heart. So then we went from Melbourne and we flew over to Invercargill, New Zealand. And we got there. Now, the difference between Aussies laughing and a New Zealander, Aussies like, ha-ha! New Zealand, ha! That's the difference, seriously. So we get to New Zealand, and I was waiting for the crickets to start sounding, you know. And Jesus has a plan for your life. Yeah. And then I'd get to Christchurch. We had a great time in Invercargill, three people. And then I broke the pulpit, which wasn't good. Would you like to see that clip? You got that clip up there? Let's break the pulpit. All right. While he's getting it ready. So then, this is Invercargill. I'm going to show you real quickly. The Spirit of God just fell in the place. And you got to understand something. A lot of these people are reserved. That's why I believe there's a reserved section on the front. But I noticed that when the Spirit of God moved, I would watch people, like everybody has a different laugh. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we all try to be all super, like we just said it, we're like, yes, amen. It's just programmed in us. This is how we respond. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus has given me joy. That's our response. And then when somebody actually gets the joy, people go, it's supposed to bubble out of your belly. Well, the joy of the Lord hits this place in Invercargill, and the place just rolls all over the place. Guess what happened to people? We had testimonies come back. Hang on, you gotta back it up.
And then when somebody
else, no, it's going. Hey, hey, no, turn. People started rolling out of their chairs, and we had the testimonies come back that couples that rolled out of their chairs went home and like made up, and some people got healed in their beds that night because they couldn't stop laughing till 2:30 in the morning. That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Even scientists have proven now that it's awesome. Even scientists have now proven when you have a belly laugh and you laugh extremely hard where your stomach gets all tight and you start doing like the Tony Gazelle, you know, all that. Scientists have proven that your cells begin to heal themselves better than any medicine known to man. Isn't God awesome that He built us this way? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that awesome? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's play. Are we ready? Go for it. Hit it. I'll stay this way. I won't watch it. Do the second one. That was so embarrassing. You don't even know. I thought they were going to write up a story. God visited us when Roy came. God split the pulpit in half. You know. Another God Chaser's book. Anyway. Yeah, the second one. It just zooms in.
Church gave me a humble button.
That's the pastor on the front right there with the bald head. That was awesome. Okay. So then from Invercargill, we had a great altar call of souls that came in, people that gave their hearts to Jesus. And then we went up to Christ Church and had amazing meetings there. Some people got healed in those meetings. Then we went up to Auckland, New Zealand. When we got to Auckland, we had some people that got healed of some diseases such as acid reflux, which they reported later on, this is truly true. My doctor checked me out and I'm healed. Like, I don't have acid reflux anymore. It's not throwing up. Acid reflux, for those that don't know, it's when you chew your food and it keeps trying to come back up again. It's like you're a cow on crack. You keep regurgitating. You know, you know, whatever. And then you try to hide it when you're around people in church. You're like, anyway. So, then from Auckland, we went back to Brisbane and had two and a half meetings. We're in the middle of worship. Here I am to work. Okay, we're done. We'll see you tomorrow night. So, we had 2.5 weeks of meetings, and the power of God hit the place. We had some nights, the pastor of that church was just like, he was just like this. He could barely stand. We had Fiji pastors fly in. Listen to this. We had people fly in from Bath, England. We had people come in from Germany to these meetings in Australia. Do you understand going to Australia is like, you're on a flight for 14 hours. Hour later, are we there yet? No. My daughter... You know, she's going to college now. Are we there yet? No. One day we'll land, honey. These three Fiji pastors came and got in the meetings and God smoked them. You say, what do you mean? They got so saturated with the presence of God. Their eyes were filled up with water. They were all red at the end of the night. You'd think they were drunk. They came for Jesus. So guess what? I've been invited to do a mass crusade in Fiji, 10,000 people in 2010. Fiji! How awesome is that? No, not where I'm going. Ain't no vacation. And then we had people that came in from America. Some lady came from Virginia. I'm like, how many people are here that you travel 400 kilometers away? Lady's like, you know, you hear one person, I'm from Sydney, I'm from Melbourne, I'm from Darwin. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Tasmania, came up here on a plane, mate. Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from Kingaroy, mate. You know. Where are you from? Virginia! There's 640 people. Virginia! I'm like... Did you come on the Mayflower? I mean, how did you get here? I was like, what the heck? Virginia. Anybody here from California? You know, I was going to go into the States, but we had people come from all over, and they were just getting saturated. We probably had about 5,000 people that showed up to all the meetings in 3 weeks. Guess what? And then after that, when we decided to come back and do the 2.5 weeks of meetings, we went to a place called Perth. Where'd you go? Perth. I went to Perth, mate. Preached the gospel to those on the west side of Australia. Yeah. So we went to Perth, and like 600, I don't know, I think it was 700 that showed up the first night at Margaret Court's. The last night, we were filled to capacity. We had 800 people in sanctuary and 200 people in overflow. Guess what? In the whole meetings we did in 2 months, these are real decisions that came down to the altar, got right with God, young, old, middle-aged, hair, no hair, big, small, little, tiny, whatever. 483 decisions for Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. And they've asked me to come back in Perth, and now we're going to do a youth thing. It's going to have 8,000 youth, they're telling me, they're going to draw. Because the pastor of the church married like the president of the Liberal Party of Western Australia, and he has a lot of pull and influence. And then, of course, his youth pastor, or pastor, has influence as well. And they're going to bring all these kids together. We're going to rock the joint. Man, we had them singing and jumping. I am free. They're like do-si-do-ing and take your partner, do-si-do. Just let it go. You know, I mean, they were going nuts. And you know what? Out of all that, we were flying back, my wife and I, and we told people about Kingston. We talked about Kingston. We showed the video in Brisbane like three times. People were going, that's Steve Smith. That's blooming Steve Smith. I know him. So do I. He happens to be a personal friend of mine. How many appreciate Evangelist Steve Smith? And let me just bring it to this, okay? You know, when we first started out in the meetings here, listen, something has started here. I know they're talking about this church and all over Kingston. But they're talking, you know that there's people that are actually talking about it in England? Because they went through my website and found and watched Steve preach and Vaughn preach and then others that have come through and you guys and your worship, man, taking people into heaven. I mean, my God. It's getting out. It's getting out. But it's not just about, oh, look, we're a hot spot. Just do what God's called you to do. You'll be fine. Everything else will work itself out. But, you know, I'm thinking about Steve right now and thinking about the heart, bringing it back to what I was already talking about, that the motives have to be right. And the first 3 days, because I've known Steve for 4 years, I guess, now, my parents, you know, he's a very close friend of our family and stuff, and Steve came and did meetings in our basement. When he first started in the U.S., he did meetings in the basement. He was faithful with what God gave him, the little, preached his guts out, poured himself out on the altar for people. Do you know that that's what you have to do to see God move in your life? Are you listening tonight? You want to see God bless you? Then give to other people. Pour yourself out. Oh, you don't understand. I've already gone the extra mile. Go two more. Go two more. I'm like the last person to leave the meeting usually, every single night that we do meetings. I tell you, we just pour it all out. We just pour it all out on the altar. Wait for the last person to leave. You don't want to let anybody get out of the place without missing. You don't want anybody to miss anything that God has for them. And so I called Steve within the first 3 days of this revival that was happening here caused us to cancel. We canceled Baltimore, Maryland, 1,000-member church. And then we canceled Front Royal, Virginia. And then we had to make a decision. Are we going to go down and do the 700 Club interview? By the way, how many saw that interview? Yeah. Did you enjoy that? Listen, that was straight from the heart, man. I think the lady was a little nervous with me because I was so laid back. I'm like, that's what happened when you wake me up at 8:30 in the morning and drag me down to the studio. I'm like drunk, basically, when I'm tired. So I'm like, she's like, so tell me about it. I'm like, oh, it's just, you know, like that. I'm so like, wow. I don't care. I think we should all be like that, where you don't care. You don't care what people say. You don't care what people think. But I called Steve, I think it was the third day. This is what I said. Some of you might not even know this. I said, Steve, God's moving here in Kingston with Vaughn Gerald and the Vineyard Church. Something's going on. Here's a man who poured his life into me. He poured his life into me. Vaughn Gerald did. When I was 16, some people don't even know that. I went to a Zion Prayer Mountain school, discipleship school, for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it rained. But I was totally shaken by the power of God. And I had heritage and foundation put into me as a young boy. Some of you, you want to see, some of you young people, how many people here have a desire to be in ministry? Okay, let me tell you how you're going to get there. It ain't going to happen quick. I'll just tell you right now. You've got to learn to enjoy the journey. Because when you get to, let me tell you, some people go, well, you don't understand, my ministry's failing. How do I go to the next level? Really? You're having a hard time with your ministry failing? Try success. It's worse. Because now you have all the money. Now you have all the open doors. Now you have all the accolades. People think well of you. Be careful when everybody speaks well of you. Will you still turn it around and make it about Jesus? Or will you sell out like every other preacher does and every other musician and worship leader star? Or will you make it about Jesus? That's why when we sold 30,000 CDs worldwide in 4 months because of the Lakeland Revival, we took all that money and we poured it into England. And we poured it into Wales and into Scotland and into Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. And we saw in September to November, just before we came here, we saw 1,557 decisions in the UK. Because it's about souls. That is your harvest. People are your harvest. Some preachers are like, I don't like people. It's like, why are you in the ministry? It's about people. But people lose heart and lose faith of what God's called them to do. But I'm telling you right now, here's how it starts. I call up Steve, for instance, 3 days into the revival here at Kingston. And I just said, listen, man, God's moving here. I tell you, the presence of God, Steve, if you come down, I'll put you guys up. And I'm not trying to give any accolades to myself. This is just who I am, okay? I'm like, I'll put you up, man. Just come down. Bring your wife. Bring your daughter. You know, come. You gotta get in the presence. He hung up the phone, and the power of God hit him. And he said, I'm hungry for God. Steve didn't come down because he wanted to minister. Steve didn't come down because, oh, this is an opportunity for me to grow. His motive was, hey, I'm hungry for God, man. And I've been preaching for 27 years, 30 years, and I'm still desperate for God. And when he came broken, listen to me, when he came broken, just like I came broken years ago, and I said, God, I just want you. I don't care about if we ever make it in the ministry. I don't care if we make a dime. I don't care if people persecute me. I don't give a flying rip what people say about me. I just want your presence, God. I want you to show up when I show up. I want people to walk out healed, blessed, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he came down, and God, I watched him on the front row. God started just pounding him. He'd get done with the meetings, and he'd come, and we'd be in the back room in tears. Man, the power of God's all over me. And I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that God was putting him in the position here that he's in right now. And I'm not anybody special. I don't claim, oh, yes, Steve's underneath. Give me a break. Ultimately, Steve is underneath the hand of God.
Amen.
But look what God can do. And Steve has put it on the line. And this isn't new to him. This isn't new to me. And I'm telling you folks right here that are listening to me, you can come to church every week. You can come and sing the songs. You can read the word. You can act spiritual all you want. But unless you really do something with what you have received from the Holy Spirit, it's all in vain. It means nothing. Well, Roy, I'm not like charisma like you. And I don't know how to waddle around like Steve. You know, remind me of Donald Duck. But those that press into God, you will receive from the Lord, and no man can take it away from you. No man can take away what God has given you. And some of you need to remember what God has given you. How can you talk to me that way, Roy? Because I can. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to stir the pot. I'm caused to make some people uncomfortable. Because I hate religion. I detest religion. It does nothing more than suck the life out of Christians that are trying to give their lives to Christ and try to live for Him. It stinks to high heaven religion. What's religion? Religion? This is what religion is. Religion is repeating something over and over, and it's not from your heart. So guess what? When you sing a worship song, you don't attach your heart, you become religious. Well, brother, I'm just trying to get there in the spirit. Then get there. Get there. Get there. I want everybody to just sit back in your seat for a minute. Tilt your head back and put your hands on your belly. Just relax. Church was never meant to be stiff. My God. Sometimes it looks like wax dummies come in the church and sit in the pews. Fire God comes and they all melt. Just relax. Enjoy the presence of God. Let me just encourage you. You are a carrier of the presence of God. Ephesians 2:19 says, you are no longer strangers, no longer foreigners. You don't have to approach God a certain way or be all eloquent in your speech. Oh, God, I come before you this day. If you would just hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm a worm. Put me on a hook and toss me in the pond. Like God's up in heaven going, Michael, shh, listen to this. They're praying with eloquence. You don't have to do anything except be who you are to Him, and He will be who He is to you. Say this after me. I am a carrier of the presence of God. Close your eyes right now. Don't look up here. Don't look at the person next to you. And put your hand on your own belly. Oh, that is your belly. Close your eyes and let your spirit man hear this tonight. I am a carrier of the presence of God. Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, you go with me. Everything I say from this night on will be because I hear you say. Everything I do will be because I see the Father do it. Because I am a carrier of the presence of God. Now let your spirit man eat that. Some of you need an oil change tonight. Let it out. Could you keep the joy to yourself, please? Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Not dead, stagnant water where mosquitoes hang around. How many speak in tongues in here tonight? All right, speak in tongues right now. All right, stop. The same thing works with the joy of the Lord. Hey, some of you, just lay back, close your eyes. The word must be felt. It can't just be spoken. It has to be tangibly felt. So if the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, you're a carrier of the presence of God. Everywhere you go, He goes with you. When your spirit man recognizes and realizes who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what people think, say, or do. Why do you think in Acts chapter 2, when they were all gathered in one accord and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind and it filled the whole house where they were seated and it sat upon each of them like divided tongues of fire and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit? I believe they finally realized it wasn't them, it was Him. Now say this after me, close your eyes.
Sound like Aussies. That's something an Aussie would say.
Just lean your head back. Say this after me. By faith,
by faith,
I tell my spirit tonight,
I am
a carrier
of the presence
of God.
Woo!
Say it again. By faith,
by faith,
tonight I declare, to my spirit,
I am
What do you think is going to carry you through all the valleys you go through? What do you think is going to carry you through all the storms you go through? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Job 5:22, and you shall laugh. You shall laugh when famine comes. You shall laugh when destruction comes. Some people, man, I'm happy with my depression, Roy, thanks. Depression and I got married, we had a couple kids, doubt and unbelief. I need a microphone. Is that one? Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Great. Great. What are you waiting for? It's funny. Everybody's like, what's he doing now? Close your eyes. Put your eyes on Jesus. You must be filled with the presence of God. It works like this. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ho ho. Fill them, Lord. It's got to come out of your belly. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Fill her, Jesus. I didn't think the scriptures were supposed to come to life in a meeting. I thought we were just supposed to read them as stories. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Unbelievable. Some people, ha ha. Some people need to get rid of some passengers that are on board tonight. What part of the service are we in, Roy? This is the main part. Welcome. Alice is going, oh God, no. We were made to be overcomers in this life. We were made to press into God. Some people sing this song. I'll fly away, oh glory. Why would you want to fly away? Can I interpret that song? I want to fly away because I don't want to be here anymore. People want to just go to heaven. They even want to bypass Jesus to get there. They do. I'll just use Jesus so I can get to heaven. How about this song? Take me away. Take me away. Oh, God, please. Take me away. I don't want to stay. I don't know how to overcome because I am a wimp. What do you think they experienced on the day of Pentecost? People, the Bible says that many thought they were drunk with new wine. And Peter stood up in the midst of them. This is why I'm so excited about the move of the Holy Spirit, that it's still hitting generations, whether people believe it or not. God's getting his job done. He knows what he's doing. Can you say amen? It will touch those who believe. Some say it's foolishness. Well, the Bible says that God uses the foolish things of men to confound the wise. In Acts chapter 2, when you read down just about Acts chapter 2, verse 12, it says the people were perplexed. And they looked at each other saying, whatever could this mean? Because I believe it says in the scripture in Acts 2 that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they appeared to be drunk. Some people are so sober in the church. They come in the appearance of, they go to the church, they come in the appearance, hallelujah. I'm convinced today that people actually practice how to stand and worship. Then they lip sync the words. I watch them in all the worship services. Holy. And the person's not looking anymore. Some people, listen, this is 2009. It's a whole different animal. I'm convinced that people come to the front to get hands laid on them so they can fall out in the altar because they've worked all week and they're tired and nobody's going to mess with them if they're on the ground. Because everybody else thinks they're out of the power of God, but if you walk up close to them, you hear them. They've had a long week. Nobody's going to get up and mess with them. So I figure if God wants to knock them down, he'll do it right through my hands. So some people, I'll pray for them. They just want to do a courtesy fall. And they'll go, oh, and I go, no. And they're like, and I'm like, no. No. It's like they almost go, would you please push me down? Take my hand, you know. If God wants to do that, he'll use anybody he wants to. He'll knock you on the floor. You won't be able to get back up. Amen. Amen. It's got to be by the Spirit that we do things. It can't be fake anymore. It can't be just coming to a service because it's just a club to come around. Just hear me, okay? Hear me. This is where we're at spiritually in church, okay? I'm 32 years old. I'm the young guy, okay, on the block. And this is what I'm seeing. A lot of our young people don't have the heritage anymore because the ones that have gone before us have suffered much persecution. They don't want to suffer it anymore. And so the younger generation lacks in the heritage that's available to them. Listen, you think it's just charismania and stuff like that? Give me a break. I don't care about charismania. You know what I care about? I want to be touched by the Holy Ghost like the disciples got touched in the upper room. And I have been. When the fire of God touched me, I wasn't the same. Everything changed. And that's how I can tell people that are touched by the fire of God, because they have footprints of the Holy Ghost all over them. You ever seen the movie Hook? Okay, in the movie Hook, in the very beginning, Robin Williams plays Peter Pan, an old man who's now got kids and everything, and Tinkerbell comes in there and she steps on ink and she walks up on his shirt. You should watch that movie. It'll inspire you to know who you are in Christ. I mean, I had a whole message I preached in Orlando about 3 years ago on all of Hook, and I won't do it all tonight. But when Tinkerbell stepped up on his white shirt, she left footprints. And she said, Peter, don't you remember who you are? He forgot that he was a kid that would do anything. He'd have an adventure. He forgot about, I'm trying to grow up. He didn't want to grow up. And that's what happened to us in the church. Thank God we don't have to go through circumcision anymore. What would it look like? Will we have circumcision teams? Thank God for the new covenant. I'm from the church twice cut. I'm here for another one. Thank God for the new covenant. All the men say amen. Some people just got offended. Whatever. So, you have to understand that the Holy Ghost is trying to remind us that what we have available to us, and this is what happens. People forget what they have. Do you remember when Jesus was on the boat and all the storms came and the disciples got all frustrated and they were freaking out? And they're like, oh my God, we're going to die. And Jesus, it appears that in the Bible that he got angry. Well, I don't think he got angry because they didn't use their faith. He got angry because he was sleeping. You woke me up. What are you doing? I'm thinking if it was me on the boat, I'd just tie a rope around my ankle and Jesus and I'd go to sleep with him. Amen. When you're with Jesus, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. The Holy Spirit is here today. He's with you. He knows how to do this thing called life. But you can't fall asleep. And you can't just come to get an occasional high off even a revival. You must carry it home and change your family. You are called to be a peculiar people. You're supposed to stick out. You're not supposed to blend in. We got Brother Bucket Mouth, Sister Doodad. You're supposed to stick out. Some people do that without even trying. This is the whole thing. This is why I'm even speaking tonight, because I want you to understand what you have on the inside of you. This is what's carried me through my life. Listen, I did meetings 4 years ago, 4 years ago, in upstate New York. Some people that are here tonight, you were in some of those meetings. 4 years ago, I would preach with 10 people in the room. And I didn't care if anybody knew me. I made it all about Jesus. When I sang, I made it about Jesus. When I preached, it was about Jesus. And it wasn't the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. I mean, the generation's crying out right now, please somebody show me the real Jesus. And if we don't stir our youth, we're going to lose them. If we don't stir the generations, if we don't remind each other of what we have, who we are in Christ, we're going to lose it. I'm just telling you now. You think this economic shake is a big deal? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, are you one of those prosperity preachers now going to preach in the midst of all of our turmoil and stuff?
Holy smokes, man. You're terrible. Do you know in the midst of all the famine, it didn't affect Jesus. What are you talking about? It didn't affect Jesus in any way. See, back when I was in the 10 people, I gave like there was 10,000. Do you hear me? And then it would grow, and I'd go to 25, or I'd go to 50, and then I'd go to churches, and then all of a sudden they'd bring me into these big places and stuff like that, and I didn't care. I wasn't moved by the numbers. I wasn't discouraged by the numbers. There were times I was like, oh, man, there's only 6 people. In fact, we did a meeting together in Binghamton, New York, Steve. You and I did a meeting one weekend, put it on a poster, revival is coming to Binghamton. Somebody said, who do you think you are, revival's coming to Binghamton? I think I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and revival's coming to Binghamton. And 6 people showed up. The offering was gigantic. $2, right? No, I'm just kidding. And that was half of what I gave, you know. But anyway. And so the first night, 6 people show up. My wife and I, and Steve was up there playing and everything. We got irritated, and we said, devil, you ain't one. We went outside. We grabbed 5 people off the street and got them saved. Tears. Listen. Tears coming down their face. God touched them. I didn't shove a track up their nose. I didn't say, have you ever lied before? Well, you're a liar. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust before? Well, you're an adulterer. Have you ever blasphemed God? Well, you're a blasphemer. Would you like to know Jesus? We just look people straight in the eye and say, listen, man, did you know that God actually really truly loves you and has a plan for your life? You look them straight in the eye. People want to see the real. They don't want the fake. They're tired of the fake. How many in here, you're tired of the fake? 3 people. I mean, that's what it's about. So we pulled them in and got them saved. The next meeting, we had 12. Right? It was you and Melanie. Because I went to Baltimore for my friend's wedding. But then the third night, we had 80. And the power of God smoked the place. I preached a meeting for about 3 hours. And then Steve left the meeting and came back. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm like, Steve, where are you going? You're the main speaker. No. So I preached, and then Steve came up, and he had the easiest job the whole night. He just walked up with a microphone and went. Is this on? This thing's like, I mean, in the hands of Steve, this is like a lightsaber. It's like,
Luke. The force is strong with you, Luke.
So Steve just went down the line, and like 25 people all got healed at the same time. They all got up. Where's your pain here? Where's your pain here? Where's that? Where's that? It's gone. It's gone. Oh, my God, I'm healed. All because we believe what God gave us to carry on the inside of us. And it's carried me through the years, and I became a very big giver as well when we had nothing. When I had $1,000 in my bank, and I was standing in Tampa, Florida, and that's all I had, folks. I got 2 kids on the road. We gave up our home. We gave everything away in our house, and we traveled up and down the East Coast from Maine all the way down to Florida for 3.5 years, sleeping in hotels, sleeping in houses of pastors on the floor, just going into cities and churches like this and just pouring our lives into the people, because that's what you're called to do anyway. Yeah. Not to build a ministry. We weren't even trying to build a ministry. We were just trying to set people on fire. We're Holy Ghost pyromaniacs for Jesus, man. And we're not responsible for the fire. We just light it and see ya. And this is my message tonight is, what are you going to do with the fire you've received? You've got to give it out. You want to see the revival go to the next level? Start giving it out. Start getting people saved. That's what really matters. What are you going to take in this life? Huh? Let me get real with you. What are you going to take in this life with you at the end of your life? Some people have a great future for their life. This is their plan. I'm going to work 70 years, rest 10, and then die. And if you worked for Chrysler, you used to get a Tiffany clock. Not this year. Sorry. What? Seriously, why are we here in this life? Why are we here? Why are we here? Do you think it's just to live your life, to have kids, get possessions, have a couple cars, live in a house, get known in the time, you know, in the city that you're in? Maybe have some accolades of people. For musicians, just get your record out and get a record deal someday. Is that what we're called to do? Do you know since the revival? I'm just going to say it because it happened to me. This is my testimony, okay? I've had like 3 major record companies come to me and book deals and stuff. And I turned them all away. Do you know why? Because I've watched in the past people sell out to that because they finally made it. I am totally the opposite. No evangelist would take up their offering at almost 11 o'clock at night when people have cleared out of the building. No evangelist would keep on going and letting people leave and not get offended over it. It's because there's people in here that are hungry and desperate enough to say, you know what? I want the real. And God will give you the real if you press in for it. And I cried out for my ministry. I cried out in my own times. I'll never forget 2 years ago. Driving down the highway here in Johnson, not here, but 2.5 hours away in Johnson City. I was coming back from Apalachin, and I was in a 2-door convertible with the top down. My parents had given Melanie and that car. And I dropped off a guy by the name of Shane Willard, who was an evangelist, and he just pricked a couple things in my heart that caused me to evaluate my life. Now, at this point in my life, I'm doing well. In the eyes of the natural, I'm doing well. We've got meetings, we've got money coming in, we've got invites, my marriage is great, I got kids that are healthy, you know, everything's great. I'm in peace and harmony with my parents, you know, I mean, everything's wonderful. And all of a sudden, because he pricked a couple things in my heart, it began to make me evaluate what motives am I doing anyway? Like, why am I really doing what I'm doing? Because there's a motive behind everything. And so I began to talk to the Lord. And have a real heart-to-heart talk with God. And I said, God, I want you to know. And I was thinking about Job. How many know the story of Job? Job lost everything. He lost everything. And the reason he lost everything is because God allowed him to lose everything. Some people say, well, God would never do that. Whatever. There's a purpose in everything he does. And so I'm remembering those times when Job lost everything, his wife, his kids, his house, his lands, his cattle, everything's gone. And I said this while I'm driving down the road. Now listen, this is 2.5 years ago. I just upped the years, didn't I? Yeah. Evangelistically speaking. Yeah, 6 months. That's how evangelists are. You know, we say, how many did you have in your meeting tonight? 1,000? Oh, you had 500. Great. Because evangelists count feet, pastors count heads. So I said, Lord, I want you to know, and I meant this, how many have had a real true prayer to God? Were you really involved? Not, in other words, you didn't say, oh God, like most people pray like this. Dear Lord Jesus, help! That's how most people pray. Help. But I did this. I said, Lord, and you got to understand, I'm not in a valley. I'm not in lack. I'm not in a place where I really need something. I need to have breakthrough, okay? But in my heart, I need a breakthrough. And I said this. I said, God, I want you to know, and I meant what I said, if you want to take everything away from me, my family, and I love my wife. Y'all know that know me and Melanie and my kids. I said, if you want to take my family, if you want to take my possessions, if you want to take everything from me, I want you to know it's okay with me because I'd rather have you than have all that and never have you. So I pray this prayer one night, right? This really happened to me. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm a skeptical person, like I told you, and I don't like to be around spiritual granola people that much. Fruit bars, you know, for Jesus. Fruit and nuts, you know. It's like a breakfast cereal. Yeah. So I'm like, I pray the prayer. I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, in my throat comes out this sound. And I went, this is what I said. What the hell was that? I'm sorry. What the H-E double hockey sticks was that? I pull the car over. This really happened. I'm flipping out. This is like one of my one-time experiences I've had with the Holy Spirit. I've had like two, and this is like was number one for me. On a scale of one, this is number one. I pull the car over, and I'm like, what just happened? Now, remember, I prayed a prayer of consecration. The devil doesn't like that. Neither does the enemy. All of the demons, they hate that kind of stuff in your life. When you're sold out for Christ, like, you know, like when you wake up in the morning, when I go to sleep, I think about Jesus. I wake up in the morning, I think about Jesus. It's like all the demons in hell go, oh shoot, he's up. He's awake again. Here we go. Hit me again. I'm still conscious, you know. And so I said, what happened? And I said this, Lord, was that you? And I don't mean the voice, but that caused the voice. I look in the rearview mirror. My eyes are covered with water. It looks like I've been crying for an hour. This happened in a matter of seconds. My eyes were completely puffy. I had fluids coming out of every orifice of my face. I said, Lord, was that you? And as I said that, instantly I felt something sit right down next to me in the car. I'm by myself. And it's 11:30 at night. I'm pulled over the side of a highway. It's dark out. And all of a sudden, I feel this thing just sit right down next to me. And I flipped out. And I didn't go, oh, hello, angel. Would you like to have some tea? Like, I didn't do that. I ducked underneath the steering wheel. I became afraid. Because, see, some people say that. I don't like how people say they casually see angels. It drives me nuts. That's just me, okay? Because they're like, oh, yeah, I had an angel come in the meeting the other day. Really? Everywhere in the Bible, they fell as dead and they had to be restored. So anyway. Like, and I've never seen an angel. I've never seen Jesus. And that's okay. You know why? Jesus said, and when he came in the upper room after he had rose from the dead, he says, you believe because you see me, but blessed is he that believes in me and has not seen me. So if you haven't seen Jesus or an angel, it's okay. You're going to be all right. Okay? But this time something had sat down, and I knew it was from the Lord. I knew it was from God. And I remember just taking the Bible. I had the Bible next to me, and I don't do this kind of stuff. I grabbed the Bible. I'm weeping. I'm crying. Everything's coming out of me, you know. I get back on the highway. I take the Bible. I kiss it. And I put it to my chest. And I said this. I said, Lord, I didn't close my eyes. You ever prayed with your eyes open? Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. So I said, Lord, I want you to know. I will follow you all my days. I said, teach me to walk circumspectly according to your plan, your will, not my will be done, your will be done. I meant what I said. I wasn't quoting some scripture, wasn't trying to be religious, wasn't trying to be right with God and the fact that I quoted something. It was coming from my heart between me and Jesus. And I said, I will do whatever you want me to do. When I said that, the power of God hit me while I'm driving. And it was like years. Okay, now I've been in church since I was 8. This is why I know the whole church needs to have a Holy Ghost revival about probably once a day. 30 years of CRAP fell off my shoulders and just went. Wow. And I felt like I got saved again. I felt like I was 12 years old, man. So you know what I did? I grabbed the steering wheel. I've got the Bible and I'm going like this. I'm driving 85 now down the highway. Like a crazy man. And I'm like, you're Jehovah Jireh, you're Jehovah Rapha, you're Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Nisi, Everlasting Father, the Alpha, the Omega, the Greatest, the Everlasting One. You do everything. And I'm going nuts. Crazy. And I pull into my parents' home, and I pull it. And I walk inside the house. My parents are sitting down on the chair. My wife is there with my kids, and they're sitting back eating Nutty Buddies and milk. How many know they're in a different realm than I am right now? I walk in the place and I looked at Melanie. I thrust the door open. It was like a movie. I went, phew. My stepfather's like, what the heck's wrong with him? You married him, you know. And I didn't care. I'm like, Melanie, come with me. And my stepfather again goes, and I was like, ah, come with me now. And Melanie gets up. She gets in the car with me. I am hyperventilating. I mean, I lost 10 pounds in 2 minutes. I was, woo, 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 ha, 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 woo. Melanie's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, Melanie, I don't know what to tell you, except tonight everything has changed for our ministry and our lives. The Lord has touched me again. I am not the same I used to be. I don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead, but I'm telling you, I've been set free of something, and I never felt this way in 10 years. God's done something to me tonight. It's changing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. And she looked at me and she's like, okay, 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 okay. So we drive over to the Hess gas station. I get out. Bad mistake. Don't do that when God's touching you. Don't go to a gas station and try to fill up your car where there's other people around and you're vibrating under the power of God. Now listen, I've been in the Brownsville Revival. I've been around people from Toronto. I never laughed. I never jerked. I never shook. I never got drunk. And God touched me. So I get out of the car and I go to fill it up and I find my hand going like this. And I'm going... And about that time, a teenage couple pulls in and they get out, and I'm behind the car going, yes, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! They get out, they're like, okay. Woo. I'll just get a Kit Kat and be out of here, thanks. I don't need any gasoline, you know. You're an empty, I know, I'll get it down at Shell, you know. And I didn't care. God was touching me. Listen, you must have an encounter. Are you listening? You have to have an encounter. Don't tell me you got saved and that's it. That doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you get filled with the fire of God and everything changes in your life. And you're not the same. People look at you and you just buzz. You just carry the countenance of God with you because He's the one that touched you. So I turned to my wife that night and I said, honey, everything's different. I can't explain. I'm going nuts. I'm crazy. I don't know. Everything's different. It just feels different. I can't explain it. When God touches you, all of a sudden, everything is enhanced. The grass is like green. The sky is like blue. And the birds are like... You start having like a Shrek moment. People think you're nuts and you don't care. You can clear the building out. Everybody leaves. You're like, bye. Because somebody here tonight, you're going to get touched by God. God's already doing some stuff right now. But some of you are going to walk out of here changed tonight. But let me finish my story. So I turned to my wife that night. We went to bed. I couldn't sleep. How many know when God touches you, you just can't sleep? I could not sleep. I'm vibrating the bed. Melanie loved it. She's getting a back massage, you know. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Now, here's the deal. We were believing God for an SUV, and I only had $5,000 towards the $10,000. And I didn't care at that point. I gave it to God. Do you know the very next morning after God touched me, let me tell you something. I get a phone call from a lady. She says, God spoke to me to give you $5,000. Can you meet me at the bank? I said, yes, and you better not be disobedient. Now listen to me. I get down to the bank, and as she's standing there, I forgot about the fact we're getting an SUV. Now, most people would be excited. You're upgrading, okay, from a two-door convertible with two kids, a 3.5-foot keyboard, luggage, and a two-door convertible with a family of four. What are you doing? I'm serving Jesus.
Amen.
I forgot that we needed an SUV. Do you know that you won't care about anything when God touches you? So she gives me the money, and I start crying right there at the bank. And I said, listen, this is what happened to me last night. The power of God hits her. She starts laughing uncontrollably. She starts crying uncontrollably. That's when you know the Holy Spirit's moving. You're crying and you laugh at the same time. Yes. Yes. It's like, it's like one of those, you know? Guess what? We traveled down to Florida. In 1 week, we had a meeting down at Sun City Center. I'm trying to build this to somewhere. We go down to Sun City Center. We preach in this place. They do like Southern gospel there. So they're doing the whole, I'll fly away, oh glory. And the girls at the piano, I'll fly away. You know, that's the way, I'm serious. I was like, oh my God, please. We're going to have to throw dynamite in this place tonight with the Holy Ghost, you know. So I just played, I need you more than yesterday. The pastor and the pastor's wife get totally ripped by the Holy Spirit. They get broken. And they start prophesying into my life. And they said, Roy, I'm telling you right now, God just told me you're going to have 3 divine connections and your ministry's about to go to another level. And I'm thinking, I don't care. Great, whatever. And I'm serious. That's the way I was. I wasn't like, oh, yes, please. Yeah. Then he prays. He said, Lord, I pray. He's sitting there with his whole congregation. Lord, I pray that Roy and Melanie Fields never have to go and try to get another booking ever again in their life. That's what he prayed. The very next day, we go to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, summer camp meeting. The place is on fire. Now, my wife and I, we've been traveling all around. I've been doing worship, and we've been preaching. We've given a couple of altar calls and won some of the lost and got some people right with God, you know. But it wasn't like the thrust of our ministry. Well, God was speaking to Pastor Rodney and said, there's a great awakening coming across America again, and we're going to reap all the harvest of souls. More than Billy Graham did. Did you know this, that Billy Graham spent $265 million in all the crusades from 1998 until now, in 10 years, to bring in 600,000 people into the kingdom? Do you know that Rodney, in 2 years, spent $2.5 million and brought in 994,000 decisions? Now, that it doesn't mean, oh, he's greater than Billy Graham. No. It's just, we're in the last days, folks. We ain't got time to mess around with people that don't want to give their lives to Christ. I'm sorry, it's going to be the same. Jesus said, and just like in the days of Noah, the end will come. Just like in the days of Noah, you're either in or you're out. And that's the way it's getting. It's getting to that place. And we can all be lulled to sleep, or we can go after God. And God will bless you because you go after him. He blesses those that seek him, does he not? He said, seek ye first the kingdom, all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Desires that you have. But guess what? People, you got to adjust your motives. You don't go seek the kingdom of God so you can have all these things added unto you. I tried that. Didn't work. I fell on my face. The minute I turned my ministry around and I prayed a prayer of consecration, I said, God, whether I make it in ministry or not, I'm going to still preach, I'm going to still sing, and I'm still going to tell people everywhere about you and what you've done for me. And when God sees that attitude, and I mean in everybody, you're reading the Bible, he blesses that person. All of a sudden, you get the blessings start chasing you down. All of a sudden, it overtakes you. Deuteronomy 28, the blessing going in, the blessing going out. The blessings overtake you. He sets you high above every other nation. What makes the difference? Why are people different in the Bible? What makes them so special? Abraham, Moses, Jacob. What's so special about these guys? They were mere men just like you and me. Some of these guys were jacked up. Abraham was the father of many nations. If he kept going the way he wouldn't be the father of many nations. I think I'll take that maidservant named Hagar and have Ishmael. Thank you, Father of Abraham, Father of many nations, more than the sands and the stars. He's just like everybody else. He has weaknesses and failures, but what makes him different? He answered the Lord, and the Lord still remained faithful and gave him a son named Isaac. And then when God wanted Isaac, he says, now give that to me. And it says, early the next morning, he set out to Mount Moriah and took Isaac bound up, up to the altar in 3 days and was going to sacrifice him like God said. He didn't even think about it. He did what the Lord told him to do. That's what makes him different. You look at Moses, and I'll end with Moses. You look at Moses, though, and everybody thinks this great Moses lifted up his staff, parted the Red Sea. Folks, Moses had an anger problem. Moses was a premeditated murderer. And he had pride. In the book of Numbers, it says, and nobody was more humble than Moses. Who wrote the book of Numbers? He stuttered. He was premeditated murder. The Bible says he looked to the left, he looked to the right, and then he killed him. What was that encounter like? You're going to die. I'm going to kill you. You're going, Aaron, tell him what I'm saying. But see, listen to me, and I'm trying to hurry up here. Listen, I read those stories, and I said, you know what? If Enoch, hello? If Enoch can walk with God, and then he was not, because God just took him, I want that relationship, Lord. These guys had more failures than I did. Some of these guys murdered somebody. I haven't murdered anybody yet. Something changed in my heart, folks. I got real with God. And I got through all the stuff. I got past all the what am I going to become, who am I, all that kind of stuff. And I just said, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And I really, from my heart, in my motive, not just in front of people, but in my motive, I made it about Jesus. And I raised my kids up in the ways of Jesus. And I want to encourage some of you that are here tonight, if you've raised your children up in the ways of the Lord, they shall not depart from it. I don't care if they're out there serving the devil. They have to return because God's word says, I promise you, they will not depart. They will return. The prodigals are coming back. But you have to press into God. You have to, in your spirit, say, "Gets it? I'm getting desperate." Even when your flesh tells you, "I don't even feel like it tonight." Don't live by your flesh, man. Your flesh doesn't know squat. Your flesh is dumb. Your flesh is in all different places when you get older. That's why I don't even get a tattoo. I don't encourage anybody to get a tattoo. Not because I don't believe in tattoos necessarily, but because, hey, if you get a butterfly on your arm, by the time you're 85, it looks like an elephant. Look at my butterfly. That looks like Dumbo. I don't know. So listen to this. I meet Dr. Rodney Harmon Brown in the camp meeting, and he shouts out, there's a great awakening coming to America. It's about souls. And the fire of God hit me again. I'm having this encounter with God. It hits me again. Boom! Just like that. And my wife, it hits her. We stand up to our feet on top of the chairs in the midst of 600-some-odd people, and we're like, "Woo!" And we're the only ones shouting. Next thing you know, people start standing in the room. Whoa! And the place starts shouting. I didn't care if they got up. I wasn't starting a wave. That's mine. Look, I did that. I started that, you know. I was just hungry for God. At the end of the camp meeting, I'm in the lobby, and I bump into Pastor Rodney. Rodney Harbrown had Lakeland Revival back in 93. 10,000 people came every night for 16 weeks. It spread around the world. Then he went to Australia and packed out. Oh, we went to Perth. They showed me the place where he packed it out. 8,000 people showed up. I mean, everywhere he went, packed it out. Went to Singapore, 35,000 people showed up. I mean, that's what revival does. People get hungry. They want a touch from the Lord. And so I'm walking out of the lobby, and I'm getting my kids together, and I literally bump into him. Boom, boom. And I went, oh, my gosh, it's Pastor Rodney. And he looks like a mafia boss, you know. Hey, how you doing? I walk with the Holy Spirit. You know. You want the Holy Spirit? You know. You don't want the Holy Spirit? I'm going to get Mickey to break your legs. Yeah. Fire. Yeah. So I said, Pastor Rodney, I said, listen, I've been so touched this weekend. I said, your ministry's touched me so much, and that's it. I just want to get out of his way and just say, he looked me square in the eye. And Rodney will stare you down. How many have seen Rodney before? He'll stare you down. He'll look right through your soul. He just looks at me. He just goes. What do you do? And I'm like this. I'm an evangelist. He says, is everything okay? I said, oh, man, we're blessed. I mean, God's just moving. And I start getting excited. I'm telling him everything that's going on. He says, come here. And he grabs me by the arm and sits me down. Looks at me straight. This guy is friends with Oral Roberts. He's been around the great revivals. People have come to him. People that you watch on television. I won't mention any names because I don't know them. There's people on television that you know today that have called up Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. These are ministers and preachers that were in a bar with a double-barrel shotgun pointed at their head, drinking a bottle of Jack Daniel's, saying, I can't move on anymore with God. That's how much of the presence of God that Pastor Rodney has carried. They all call him because they feel he's a real man of God. Isn't that sad? Well, that's where it's at. That's the state of the church. So this guy's pure. And you say, well, no man's pure. Yeah, but God can do it. So anyways, he looks at me and he says, come here, I want to talk to you. He sits down in the chairs and everything, and he looks at me and he says, so tell me about your ministry and everything, what you do. And I just told him, we gave up our house, just like you did, Pastor Rodney. We gave up our home and gave everything away. We have about $400 in our pocket. He started out with $300, moving from South Africa to America. And I said, we've been traveling up and down the East Coast, just having revival fires. I said, I listen to your CDs every day. I get caught up in the presence of God every day. When we drive down the road, my wife and I have had the greatest time. Some people say, how can you live 24 hours with your wife? It's wonderful. I'm not just saying that to get points. And if she's watching, I'm getting points when I get home. But it's wonderful because I get to have koinonia with her. We're together in this thing. And so I just told Pastor Rodney all this, and he says, listen, he says, the Lord just spoke to me. I'm supposed to help you with your ministry. He says, here's my cell phone. Here's my email. Gives it to me. I walk outside. I stop by Walmart, got a clean pair of underwear. Roy, you didn't need to throw that into your sermon. I could have handled it without that. Give it another 20 years, and you'll need some. Anyway. So, sorry. Did I say that? It came right out of me. Anyway, so I walk out of the place. My wife and I are looking at each other like, oh, my God, do you believe what just happened? Like we're around a man of God. You want to know how you keep the fire? You stay around people with fire. You don't hang around people that just throw water on everything or a blanket. Well, what you received in Kingston wasn't real. It's all emotionalism. I'm sorry. Last time I looked, it says we were created in the image of God, and God is a God of emotions. People in the back, why do you have to shout all the time? Because you can't. Because when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you shout! Because he's touched you, he's changed your life. And you don't give a rip what other people say. You were there. And so I'm sitting here in awe, and I'm going, God, what are you doing with me? We go to the next meeting, and the increase of the anointing got stronger. In other words, the presence of God, the people weren't stiff that much because I came with not the right, I didn't come with the wrong motive. I came with the right motives about Jesus lifting him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Hello? And my meetings went to another level and they just kept on growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And then all of a sudden, I came around Pastor Rodney again and he says, I'll take you out here to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Actually, I asked him. I said, can I come with you to Minneapolis, Minnesota? He goes, sure, come. And I thought he was going to pay for my plane ticket. That didn't happen. Unless you're on staff, you got to pay for it yourself. So I did. I paid the price. I didn't care. I wanted to be around a man that knew the Holy Spirit, not somebody that was just peddling religion or just being an evangelist. And through all those experiences, including when that started, next thing you know, I get in contact with another man of God by the name of Todd Bentley. And Todd has an amazing evangelistic ministry where, I mean, it's a power ministry. He just goes after the sick and they get healed. I don't care what people say. I was there. I was there. I was there from day one. And I saw people's scars disappear on their legs. I saw people that had metal in their backs that they couldn't bend over and it disappeared and they bent over. I was there. I saw it. I was flipping out. And I get around people with fire because that's what I want in my life. And I just want to encourage you. You want to see God move in your life? Get around people that have fire. Do you know it only takes one person to get set on fire with the presence of God, and everyone will come from around the world to watch that person burn? For Jesus. Can you say amen? Most of you tonight, I believe the reason you're drawn is not because some charismatic guy came through here or because the church just opened its doors. You came because something inside of you is calling out, I want the real Jesus. I want the presence of God. I don't want stale, dead, cold religion. I want to feel His presence. I want to feel His power. Nobody's going to give that to you. You must press in for it yourself. You must lift up your voice. You must stand to your feet. You must give God, hey, Lord, I'm coming after you. If you don't touch me, I'm touching you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Through it all, here we are. Here we are. 4,000 people have been saved under our ministry in the last year.
Well, it's not all about numbers.
Well, then why did God write the book of Numbers? It is about numbers. God's trying to get as many people as He can into the kingdom of heaven. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to be here at 7 o'clock. I want to share with you just this real quick last thing, and then I'm going to close the meeting down. We are now traveling. Last night, I was in, where was I? I don't even know where I am. Where am I now? I'm not in Tampa. It's cold. No. Where was I? Tampa. I was in Tampa last night. I had like four pastors come up to me last night. And I was believing God. Thank you. I was believing God to go to Scandinavia and to go to Europe. We've already been invited by a lot of folks and stuff in Europe and Scandinavia. First of all, I'm not an international like minister that likes to travel internationally. But since I've been to the UK and I've been to Australia, New Zealand, I've got the international bug. And I have to go now. It's burning in me to reach out to the lost, not to expand my ministry. My God, there are people that want the real. That's why worship, I just get lost. Just get lost. You know, I want to encourage you, when you worship, just get lost. Who cares? Who cares if the guy stinks? Who cares if the music's, it's too loud. It's not loud enough. Somebody call the ambulance. Just press into God. How would you worship if you were hanging off a cliff? Jesus! So I have the international bug now. My wife has the international bug. And, of course, we travel everywhere with our kids except for Kingston. So, no, they're at home right now, and the kids are actually ill. They have fever, and they don't have the flu, okay? I just want you to know that. Yeah. However, I woke up yesterday morning, and I went, good morning, honey. I went, whoop! Immediately, she threw me into a skillet, and we had eggs. But anyway, that's terrible. So now, listen, this is what's going on with us, okay? Just want to bring you up to date. How many have been following the website a little bit, runwithfire.com? Four people, that's awesome. We've got a big drawing crowd. How many have never been to the website before? Lift up your hands. The whole church. No, I'm just kidding. It's runwithfire.com. It's totally updated with all pictures and data and videos. We have a brand new website that's being built on top of that right now. And it keeps everybody informed with where we go. So, like tonight's pictures, if there are any, will be on there tonight. And tomorrow night the same. But God has now called us to go to the nations. And so we've already got them confirmed right now. In June, we're going to Holland. Amsterdam, Holland. We're going now to Copenhagen, Denmark. And we're going to Coventry, England, which is right in the middle of London, and they have six satellite churches, and it's going to be something like 3,000 people that are coming to those meetings, just in Coventry. That's in June. In July, we're going to Canada for a whole month, half of July, half of August. We're doing a Canadian tour, the whole country of Canada. We're going to hit cities, okay? And then that's July. And then August, well, I think August we're going to like Arizona, and we might go to Texas and North Carolina or something. Kingston, who said that? Thus saith the Lord. Yeah. September, we're going to South Africa. We postponed South Africa in May because we had been in Australia and New Zealand for 2 months with my kids, and I kept trying to call to South Africa. I didn't feel like flying my kids into another country like South Africa. It's nothing like Australia and England. Nothing. It's totally different. You can't even take the rands out of the country. What are you doing, man? Hey? You can't take the rands. Yeah. It's a terrible South African accent, but I did my best. So we are now going to South Africa in September, and we're hitting Durban, Pretoria, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. And then that's September. October, we are doing a, check this out. Now, this is something I'm going to make information to people here. We are doing a worship camp in Lakeland, Florida for all worship leaders, musicians, and singers. And I'm inviting some very big profile people that can help us technically with guitar players. Like the violinist for Michael W. Smith, she's on my album, Krista Black, who's now traveling with the Jonas Brothers. Lifting up Jesus, I hope. And I hope she's not watching. Oh, yeah, I said that. Yeah. So, and then November, we're going to Scandinavia. We're going to Finland. We're going to Norway. We're going to Sweden. We're going to Stockholm. We're going to Helsinki. And we're going to, I believe it's Oslo, Norway. And we're just going to rock the nations, man. Set people on fire. Light fires, get people out of their dead, cold religion. They even said it themselves. The guy said last night, he says, we're the frozen chosen. I don't want to be a frozen chosen. I want to be on fire for the rest of my life until he comes back. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Will you stand to your feet tonight just for a minute? Do me a favor. Just take your hands like, I just want to help you out here. Just take your hands like this. Let me get on stage so everybody can see. Don't look at my undershirt. All right. Just take your hands and go like this. Stretch out like this. Squeeze your buttocks. And very, very carefully go like this. Carefully. Okay. Go back up. Now come over this side. Don't hit the person next to you. How does that feel? All right, now sit down. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. I want to give you guys an opportunity tonight to give, to sow some seed. Are there any cheerful givers in here tonight? I'm not going to preach or teach anything. I'm just going to tell you tonight, it's never been about the offering. We pay all of our own expenses everywhere we go. We don't say we need this much. People are shocked in the nations. In Copenhagen, Denmark, last night, he's told my manager, he says, how much does Roy have to come in? What, 5,000 or... And we're like, no, he comes at his own expense. He pays the bills so he doesn't put a burden on the church. We've done that for 4 years faithfully. And God has provided. Your seed that you sowed when we were here the first 10 days sent us all around Australia and New Zealand. And that's why we were able to stay for 2 months. You did that. That goes into your account. Do you realize that? Those souls, 487 decisions for Christ, go into your eternal account. Now, you either believe that or not. When you get to heaven, some people are going to hear this song. That's all the lumber. That's all the lumber. That's all the lumber they sent. Tonight, you're sowing into all these countries that we're going to. And we're going anyways. Whether people sow or not, we're going anyways. It doesn't even matter. I want to clear something up for some people. They always think, oh, this is the prosperity part of the meeting. I know they're always going to hit me with the money. Folks, giving is just the same as revival is in your heart. It's the same thing. It applies to your whole life. If Melanie and I didn't give throughout the last 4.5, 5 years, we would not be at the place we were today. I'm convinced of it. Totally convinced. Jesus wasn't poor, okay? First gifts he got, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. I got a rattle. So, I mean, that proves it right there. Dude gets born, and it's like, here's $250,000. You'll be all right. Amen? Would you bow your heads before the Lord tonight? There's an envelope on your seat. You can make your checks payable to Run With Fire. We are a 501c3 certified, so you will get a tax receipt. If you're watching by the way of the World Wide Web, You'll have to phone my office on Monday because we don't have a donate button. We changed companies. Just ask the Lord what he'd have you give. Really, honestly, from your heart, ask the Lord, what would you have me give? How can I be a part of souls? And I can help you out tonight. If you hear a big number, that's the Lord. If it's a small number, that's the devil. And if you don't know which number is which, put them together. That's the Lord. Just trying to help you out tonight. Amen? Are you ready to give? Three people. It's going to be huge. Put your hands on your offering tonight. Let's just bless it. Close your eyes. How many need a financial breakthrough tonight? How many need a new job? Maybe you need some lands, titles, whatever. Just close your eyes. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you tonight that you have called us to be givers. We're supposed to be lenders, not borrowers. And Father, I declare to every giver tonight in the name of Jesus the same favor that has fallen upon our lives, Lord, that has fallen upon those that have followed you. Lord, that you would increase them tonight. Lord, when they give this, they're giving it to you. They're not giving it to me. We don't even touch the money. It doesn't go into anybody's salary. It goes right into the kingdom. It buys the flights. It buys the hotels. It buys the halls. It rents the places, the sound. Puts it into orphanages. It puts it into the feeding the poor. And Father, we thank you tonight that you completely back this up with your word, Lord. You said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you. We believe it tonight in the name of Jesus. And all those that are cheerful and they believe what you just prayed with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you may receive the offering. If you